First, you tell us that it is manly to keep your word. All right? If you are a man, you keep your word. And now all that the black people in this country are demanding, and even the black people in the whole world are demanding, is that you keep your word. You told us we were free. Well, then show us that we're free. You told us that there is justice, equality for all in this country. Well, then stick to your word. And let us see the justice and equality for all. Or else admit to us that you're not a man. You're a worm. You're afraid of us. You're afraid to give us equal stand. You're afraid that if you give us equal ground, that we will match you and we will override you. And if that's what you're afraid of us, then tell us that just what you're afraid of.
Good evening, petty people. I am your host. It's GW, Glenn from Mason. This is the Politically Petty Podcast Show. I got a little something special for you today. Oh, Sleepy Joe No Mo, as I call him, Joseph R. Biden, had his first press conference today. And I must say, you know, I know a lot of people say, Joe, you move a little slow. Joe is being thoughtful. He's actually thinking out his answers, unlike that previous bum that was in office, Donald J. Trump. But I like Joe. I gave him a B. A B plus. Because actually, Joe wanted to talk about COVID relief. He wanted to talk about what he's been able to do for the American people as far as trying to get this pandemic under some type of a control. Let me turn this down a little bit, but y'all know how it is. And let me be remiss if I don't say, like I always do, somebody go grab your little cousin and go grab Kiki in there. So take this little food for thought. Hopefully you don't eat too much. So just lend me an eardrum and listen to the show. But getting back to my man Joe, I was happy as hell that he attacked some of the more pertinent subjects that were out there. But getting back to COVID, Joe wanted to talk about COVID. I actually think he received one or no COVID questions out there, but that's how the media is. This is about, they don't want to talk about planes landing. They want to talk about planes that crash. And when it comes to immigration, when it comes to this voting rights, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that he wants to pass, but when it comes to the voter suppression laws being passed by Republicans, yeah, the dumbass, racist, bigoted Republican Party. As a matter of fact, Governor Bob Kemp of Georgia signed the Georgia voter suppression laws today. Yes, within the last hour or so. And if you get a chance, go back and look, because there was a sister that got arrested just because she wanted to enter the room where they were having this secret ceremony. See, a little dirty little secret. Bob Kemp tried to do this in, you know, secret. He didn't want other people in the room. And he damn sure didn't want that sister in there, because she would have screamed to high heaven. I mean, think about it, folks. They actually passed a law in Georgia where it prohibits people handing out food and water in a voting line. Now, we all know, especially black folks, especially southern black folks, that they can be in line for like 5, 6, I've even heard 11 hours. They've actually decided to prohibit Sunday voting. And who does that more specifically hurt? It hurts black folks. Matter of fact, it hurts black Christians. And for as long as I've known, I thought the Republican Party was all, you know, into the conservative right, evangelicals. I mean, even their religious tendencies are bigoted. I guess, you know, white conservative evangelicals, white conservative Christians, they don't like black Christians. They don't like black evangelicals. They don't like black religious people. So that's what we're doing now. That's how bad it got. Folks, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I've said it so many times before. In order to be a black person and to be in the black, to be in the Republican Party, you have to drink the Get Out tea. I mean, you got 2 bags of Get Out in your 8-ounce cup of whatever. Because invariably, you're going to have to cast a vote. You're going to have to say something that runs totally against the people that look exactly like you. Now, from what I hear, there wasn't a single Democratic vote in Georgia for this bill, which should be the case and should always be the case. But apparently, they've decided that they're going to have a mass boycott of the state of Georgia. So we're talking about Coca-Cola boycotting Home Depot. They call Georgia like the Black Hollywood. I know Tyler Perry has a studio down there. And, you know, from what I listened to Joy Reid today, apparently when Tyler Perry decided to open up his studios in Georgia, guess who was there at the signing? Bob Kemp, like he did something. And then years later, what does he do? He suppresses the same vote that of the people that were at that opening of Tyler Perry Studios. So I just thought that that's ironic. But what I want to do, I got a couple of clips from the speech from my man Sleepy Joe, or what I call him, Sleepy Joe No Mo. Only the Busters, you know, the Blexit, the Candace Owens, the Gilligans of the world. They know who I'm talking about. I won't even name them because they're so silly and disgusting and self-hating black folks that they don't deserve much attention. But I'm going to turn this down a little bit because y'all know how I am. I like my little music. I'm actually doing a nay-nay right now. I feel good, y'all. If you heard my last episode, I'm working out now. I'm eating better. I got a little pep in my step. I'm like doing a nay-nay here. I'm hitting it for you one time. If you young petty don't want you, I'ma shoot you. Look, I got like notifications showing up on my show. I gotta cut that off. You know, at Facebook, they just, Glenn, I got something that you need to see. Glenn, check this out. Look, somebody just messaged me. I can go ahead and click that off. But what I want to do, and I'm gonna go ahead and turn this down, and we're gonna get to a couple of clips of Joe Biden that I think are pretty significant. And one of the first questions was asked by one of my favorite, Yamiche Alcindor. I love that sister. She's all business. She asks the hard questions. And unlike the previous question where Donald Trump and her used to spar back and forth because she would ask like simple questions that you would think most presidents should be equipped to ask, but Donald Trump saw them as nasty questions. You know, I'm so glad that dumbass guy, we voted him out. I'm so glad the real silent majority spoke up and got his ass up out of there. But I don't want to take anything from my man Joe, Joseph R. So I'm going to play this clip. Of course, I'm going to interject a little bit. But I really want you to hear this question. And I really want you to hear Joe's response. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip and then we'll get to something else. So here we go. So let me go ahead and turn this down. You know, I like my little music. So let me do it. I know y'all sitting there. Y'all doing a nay-nay with me? Okay. So here we go. Here's Joseph R. Biden, damn, in his first press conference after 65 days.
Okay. How about Yamiche?
Thanks so much, Mr. President. You've said over and over again that immigrants shouldn't come to this country right now. This isn't the time to come. That message is not being received. Instead, the perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors.
Freeze it. Is there anything better than being known as a moral, decent man? Like the last guy that was in office, those adjectives would never describe Donald Trump. But let us move on. I'm sorry. I just had to get that out.
How do you resolve that tension, and how are you choosing which families can stay and which can go, given the fact that even though with Title 42 there are some families that are staying, and is there a timeline for when we won't be seeing these overcrowded facilities run by CPB when it comes to unaccompanied minors?
Well, look, I guess I should be flattered people are coming because I'm the nice guy. That's the reason why it's happening. That I'm a decent man, or however it's phrased, that, you know, that's why they're coming, because no, Biden's a good guy. Truth of the matter is, nothing has changed. As many people came, 28% increase in children to the border in my administration, 31% in the last year of, in 2019, before the pandemic.
Freeze it. Now, did you hear that? There was a bigger uptick in illegal immigrations and border crossings, or people trying to cross the border, under Donald Trump than there was during the height of when Joe Biden was the VP for Barack Obama. Because I know you got those black Democrats out there, the Blexit, the Diamond and Silks, the Officer Tatum lovers out there, you know, the black and goofy types. Oh, what's Joe Biden going to do about immigration? All this is Joe Biden's fault. Well, there are the facts. And again, that's why I'm here, guys. I'm here to give you the truth. I'm not going to let these little smart, dumb cats either, you know, those old Bernie bros and bays that still hating for whatever reason, who like to take little cheap shots and dry snitch on the side. So the facts are out there, and I'm going to give them to you. But let us move on.
The Trump administration, it happens every single solitary year. There is a significant increase in the number of people coming to the border in the winter months of January, February, March. It happens every year. In addition to that, there is a — and nobody — and by the way, does anybody suggest that there was a 31% increase under Trump because he was a nice guy and he was doing good things at the border? That's not the reason they're coming. The reason they're coming is that it's the time they can travel with the least likelihood of dying on the way because of the heat in the desert. Number one. Number two, they're coming because of the circumstances in country. In country. The way to deal with this problem, and I started to deal with it back when I was a United States Senator, Vice President, putting together a bipartisan plan of over $700 million to do with the root causes of why people are leaving. What did Trump do? He eliminated that funding. He didn't use it. He didn't do it.
Freeze it. Did you catch that? Again, just the facts, folks. Stop listening to dumbass people trying to lead you down the wrong path. That's why I call them black QAnon. I really do. The too black for BET crowd. They just don't want you to be happy. They just don't want you to see the positive side of things. They always hating. Oh, hating ass nakers. Let us move on.
And in addition to that, what he did, he dismantled all the elements that exist to deal with what had been a problem and has been continued to be a problem for a long time. He, in fact, shut down the number of beds available. He did not fund HHS to get people to get the children out of those Border Patrol facilities where they should not be and not supposed to be more than a few days, a little while. But he dismantled all of that. And so what we're doing now is attempting to rebuild the system that can accommodate the what is happening today. And I'd like to think it's because I'm a nice guy, but it's not. It's because of what's happened every year. Let me say one other thing on this. If you take a look at the number of people who are coming, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people coming to the border and crossing are being sent back. Are being sent back.
Freeze it. Did you hear that? Now, the statistics that I heard is that I think it's like up to like, I think it's 77% or 72 or 78% of the people are being sent back under the normal rules of, you know, asylum seekers, those that they consider, I don't know what, unworthy or they got some type of criminal past, blah, blah, blah. But again, when you discount the lies that are being told out there and I provide you with the truth, use the truth and the facts against them because the facts are stubborn. Okay. You can either lie about it or you can tell the truth. Now, we know that many on the right decide that a lie can, you know, has 1,000 lives, but the truth has one. You know, like my mom used to tell me, if you tell a lie, you got to tell another lie to cover up the first lie, then another lie to cover up the second lie, then another lie to cover up the third lie. So why not just tell the truth? But let us move on.
Thousands, tens of thousands of people who are over 18 years of age and single people, one at a time coming, have been sent back, sent home. We're sending back the vast majority of the families that are coming. We're trying to work out now with Mexico their willingness to take more of those families back. But That's what's happening. They're not getting across the border. And those who are coming across the border who are unaccompanied children were moving rapidly to try to put in place what was dismantled, as I said. For example, of all the children who are coming across the border, over 70% are either 16 or 17 years old. We're not talking about people ripping babies from mother's arms or little three-year-olds standing on the border. Less than, I think it's 1.5% fall in the category of the very young. So what we're doing is we're providing for the space, again, to be able to get these kids out of the Border Patrol facilities, which no child, no one should be in any longer than 72 hours. And today, I went to, for example, I used all the resources available to me, went to the Defense Department, and the Secretary of Defense has just made available Fort Bliss, 5,000 beds be immediately available, 5,000 beds in the Texas border. So we're building back up the capacity that should have been maintained and built upon, that Trump dismantled. It's going to take time. And the other thing we're doing, I might add, am I giving you too long an answer? Because if you don't want the detail. No, but I mean, I don't know how much detail you want about immigration. Maybe I'll stop there and finish.
My follow-up question is, one, if you could talk a little bit about which families, why they're being allowed to stay, what the families that are being allowed to stay, why they're being allowed to stay. In addition to that, when it comes to the filibuster, which is what Zeke was asking about, there's immigration is a big issue, of course, when it related to the filibuster, but there's also Republicans who are passing bill after bill trying to restrict voting rights. Chuck Schumer is calling it an existential threat to democracy. Why not back a filibuster rule that at least gets around issues including voting rights or immigration? Jim Clyburn, someone, of course, who you know very well, has backed the idea of a filibuster rule when it comes to civil rights and voting rights.
Now, I'm going to freeze it right there. The reason why this question is important, and I know that we've heard a lot of talk about the filibuster and the filibuster rule and how it's a relic from the old Jim Crow days. The reason why they say that all the time, and if you go back in history, Strom Thurmond, noted segregationist, I believe he filibustered for like 60 hours or something like that. Maybe it was a couple of days. But yeah, because he wanted to filibuster the Civil Rights Act. Imagine that. Imagine trying to filibuster. Put it this way. If Mitch McConnell had been in office and the leader of the Senate right back then, it might not even reach the Senate floor. That's how desperate the Democrats and Joe need to be. And Kamala, say it for me one more time, Kamala. How they need to be as far as this filibuster is concerned. This is the case where I believe that they should get rid of the filibuster in cases of, I don't know, voting, in cases of, I don't know, immigration. These are things that have to be fixed now. These are things that are of an immediate concern. And like I said, the governor of Georgia tonight signed those voter restrictive, suppressive laws into place in the state of Georgia. So I just need to get that out there, and let's go ahead and finish up with Yamiche and the president.
Well, look, I'm going to deal with all of those problems. The question is the priorities as they come and land on my plate. Let's go to the first question you asked, the first of the second questions you asked, and that is, what about dealing with families? Why are not some not going back? Because Mexico is refusing to take them back.
Did you hear that?
They're saying they won't take them back, not all of them. We're in negotiations with the president of Mexico. I think we're going to see that change. They should all be going back, all be going back. The only people we're not going to let sitting there on the other side of the Rio Grande by themselves with no help are children. And what we're doing there, and it's an important point to understand. I know you understand it. I don't mean to say it that way. Important point to focus on. The vast majority of people under the age of 18 come to the United States, come with a telephone number on a wristband, or come with a telephone number in their pocket in the United States, a mother, a father, a close relative, a grandmama or grandpa. What was happening before is it's taking literally weeks and weeks and maybe even months before anybody pick up the phone and call to see if there really was someone there. Well, we've set up a system now where within 24 hours, there's a phone call made as that person, that child crosses the border. And then a verification system being put in place as of today to determine quickly whether or not that is a trafficker being called or that is actually a mom, a dad, and or a close relative.
Now, I'm going to stop it right there because I just wanted you to get the gist of Yamiche Alcindor's question, but I wanted you to hear the president's answer. Because like I said, there's been a lot of disinformation put out there. And it's more specifically the Black and Goofies, the Blexit, the Candaces, the, you know, the Officer Tatums, the Larry Elders, the, you know, the Ben Carsons of the world, and of course Fox News and racist white right-wing radio. They've been putting out disinformation about what's happening on the border. And I wanted to, you guys to hear that. Now, I'm going to go to a second clip. Now, this clip addresses what Joe Biden actually feels about what's happening down in Georgia and the voter suppression laws that were passed tonight. Now, when Joe did his press conference, those laws hadn't been passed. Brian Kemp didn't decide to, you know, go and hide and let's do this in secret. So I want you to listen to this clip.
Nancy, CBS.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I want to go back to voting rights. And as Yamiche mentioned, Republican legislatures across the country are working to pass bills that would restrict voting, particularly Democrats fear impacting minority voters and young voters, the very people who helped to get you elected in November. Are you worried that if you don't manage to pass voting rights legislation, that your party is going to lose seats and possibly lose control of the House and the Senate in 2022?
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is.
Tell them, Joe.
It's sick.
Tell them, Joe.
It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line, waiting to vote.
Tell them, Joe.
Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work.
Tell them, Joe.
Deciding that there will be no absentee ballots under the most rigid circumstances.
Tell them, Joe.
It's all designed, and I'm going to spend my time doing three things. One, trying to figure out how to pass the legislation passed by the House, number one. Number two, educating the American public. The Republican voters I know find this despicable.
Tell them,
Republican
Joe.
Voters, the folks out in the outside this White House.
I got to freeze it right there. Now, if you saw the press conference, Joe leaned up on the mic, on the lantern, on the lectern, and, you know, he was fired up. And he should be. Joe knows that those voter suppression laws are racist as hell, but I love the fire. It was just like when he accepted his, and did his acceptance speech when he won the presidency, and he beat on the podium and said, you know, black people stood with me, so I'm going to stand up for black people. I love that shit. But let us move on.
I'm not talking about the elected officials. I'm talking about voters. Voters. And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
Tell him, Joe.
And this is gigantic, what they're trying to do. And it cannot be sustained. And do everything in my power, along with my friends in the House and the Senate, to keep that from becoming the law.
Is there anything else you can do about it besides passing legislation?
The answer is yes, but I'm not going to lay out a strategy in front of the whole world and you now.
And then on a related note, have you decided whether you are going to run for re-election in 2024? You haven't set up a re-election campaign yet, as your predecessor had by this time.
My predecessor needed to. My predecessor. Oh, God, I miss him.
I want to cut off right there. Joe just laughing at Donald Trump like that dumb mother. Well, guys, this should be Joe's song. Now what? Back then you didn't know me. Now I'm hot, you're all on me. Back then you didn't know me. Got your stimmy check, now you're all on me. Got COVID relief, got vaccines out there, now you're all on me. Like I told you, Sleepy Joe no more. Y'all love talking that VF. I like Joe Biden. I like Kamala. I like that he's emphasizing black issues. He's emphasizing working class people, no matter what your color is. You know, the hardworking taxpayers, just like you and I. So let me get out of here, folks. I just wanted to do a little quick, you know, review of the president's first speech after 65 days. Like I said, I give him a B+. I don't give anybody A's. Hell, I didn't get an A. I always got like an 89 when 90 was an A. I'm like, what? Well, I'd rather go back and get a little extra credit so I can get that A. I love A's. But hey, like my mom said, you can get A's and B's, but you can't get C's because C's are average and we're not average people. And the people that listen to the Politically Petty podcast show, you guys are not average either. We're A+, B+, honor roll students on the Politically Petty podcast show. But guys, I'm going to get out of here. I truly appreciate y'all lending an ear to me. I truly appreciate y'all listening to my podcast. Give me some insight. Call the line. You can leave a voice message. You can tell me, Glenn, you full of shit. Glenn, I'm with you, brother. Black Lives Matter. Black voters matter. We matter. Hey, guys, let me get out of here. But again, it's the Politically Petty podcast show. I am your boy, GW, Glenn from Mason, and I'm out.